Howdy. How's everybody doing this morning? Man, praise God. Praise God. You know, we all have friends that we can count on, right? That one person, maybe it's just one. Maybe we're very blessed and we have more than one. We've got several friends that when we need them, I'm talking about really need them, most of the time you don't even have to pick up the phone and call them because they call you. They already know what you need and come and are prepared to help. Let's look. I want to talk this morning in the scriptures about some friends of a paralyzed man. Let's open up our Bibles to Mark chapter 2, verse 1. Mark 2, starting with verse 1. We're going to read about 12 verses, so bear with me. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no room, even outside the door. I mean, they were everywhere. It says that while he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. It said they couldn't bring him in to see Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." Woo, man, I tell you. Now, there's folks in here, y'all listen, because what he said was, "You're healed." He didn't say that. He said, "You're healed, but spiritually healed." But some of the teachers of the religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, "What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk? So I'll prove to you that the Son of God has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed, praise God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." Woo! Here's this guy. Just imagine now the scene. Here is a man who is absolutely dependent 100% on everybody else. He can do nothing for himself. He's paralyzed. Without the help of his friends, he would not be healed. Without their help. This man needed a miracle, big time in his life. These guys, man, it doesn't really say a whole lot about these men, but I can tell you some things about them. They had to carry this guy a long, pretty long way. And this guy could not have been light. Now, they got to this house and they realized that they had started out a little late. And they got there and the house was full. I mean, there was standing room only. There probably was kids in the windows, everything. And the people standing outside just crowding just to hear Jesus speak and to say something. And they wanted to hear it. And these guys are going, "Oh, man, you know. I can just see them, they're talking amongst themselves. "Man, guys, what are we going to do? We've got his hopes up. We've carried him all this way." You know, they could have given up right there. They could have just said, "Well, sorry, pal. My friend, I'm sorry, but it's a little difficult. You're just not going to get to see Jesus, and you're not going to get healed. Not today." But that's not what they did. They started looking for a way to get in. Isn't that like a friend not to give up? I'm talking about a good friend. I'm talking about the kind of friend you can count on. They don't give up. They start thinking, wow. They look up and they go, what about the roof? These guys climb up on the roof, dig a hole into the house. Can you imagine the commotion down underneath Jesus? Jesus, here he is. He's talking. He's teaching. And you know he knows what's going on. He can hear what's going on over his head. They dig a big hole, big enough, they have to drag their friend from the ground all the way onto the roof. Then they lower him right in front of the Savior. Now that's a friend. You know, when people saw this man, they probably looked at him and they're going, you know, that poor guy. They looked at him and said, you know, this hit's hopeless. He's hopeless. He just doesn't have a life. You know, I can do nothing for him. But Jesus himself, when he saw him, it doesn't say that he just saw the faith that he had. It said he saw the faith of all of his friends. Their faith combined together, Jesus was in awe of. And that's why he said to the man, your sins are forgiven. Now there was people there, like the scripture said, that immediately go, now who do you think you are? Only God. That should have been their first clue right there. If they knew Jesus, they were, was that an oxymoron when you say that? That he said, only God can forgive sins. And I'm just sure Jesus sitting there, I've been telling you all along who I am. I've been trying to tell you, I am he. I'm the one. I am his son. He is my father. He gives me all authority to do all things. Any kind of healing. I tell you, wouldn't you just love to have been there to see that happening? How about if you was at your house and you had a bunch of friends over and someone prominent was speaking and they wanted to get in there so bad they dug a hole in your roof? What do you think the homeowner was thinking? Hey, who's going to fix my roof? I got this big hole. But I'm sure he was thinking to himself, because he also was there to hear Jesus, that what a blessing to have a hole in my roof on account of what happened. Jesus showed up. You know, these men, when you have faith, these guys had some miraculous type faith. They knew if they could just get him to Jesus, if they could just get him there within sight of him or range where he could say something to him, that he would be saved. You know, faith does crazy things, don't it? When you got faith, you step out a lot of times and people look at you and go, man, that guy's nuts. That guy's crazy. He's sticking out there like a sore thumb. He's going to crash and burn. But a person who has faith, when they step out, they're not stepping out on their own power. They're stepping out on the power of God, because God told them to do it. Faith. Hebrews 11:1 said, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things that we cannot see. Without a doubt, faith does some, it does some unexpected things, doesn't it? It causes us to do things that we normally wouldn't do. It causes us to get out of our comfort zone. I was listening to a preacher one time, and his whole message was, are you comfortable? I thought, well, this chair's not too hard, you know. It's got padding on it. I probably would like to stand up for a little while. He said, and I'm not talking about your butt. I said, oh, man, he heard me. He said, I'm talking about, are you comfortable in your walk with the Lord? Are you comfortable? I mean, are you doing everything you can do? Is God giving you something to do and you've done it and you're just sitting there just ready to go? Man, I'm proud of myself. Woo. You know, that last job I did. And you're kind of basking in the glow of it. Are you comfortable with where you are as a Christian and with your faith? If you are, I got news for you. Being comfortable and having faith in God, those two don't go together. Because faith is always stepping out in that something that makes you uncomfortable. When he says, I want you to go here, and you go, oh, Lord, you know what kind of, do you know what part, you know, Lord, that's a bad part of town you're asking me to go to and invite that man or talk to that woman. I've been there. I know. God has sent me in some places, and I'm going, man, Lord, I'm so glad you got here first. I wouldn't want to just sneak up on this place. Because I've been in some places where my life was in danger for real. And if God wasn't there with me, I wouldn't be standing here today. Because I've had many men try to kill this guy. Many. On purpose. Working for the railroad I don't even have to say anymore. Y'all know railroad and where most of it is and some of the places in Houston is bad. But faith, Jesus was moved by their tremendous faith. He didn't heal his body first. First, he healed his soul. Because if you think about, what did Jesus die for? It was to give us salvation, wasn't it? It was to save our soul. Us, not the body. A lot of times we get caught up in thinking, well, God, would you heal me? When, yeah, I will heal you. But it's the deadness that's inside of us, the lostness that's inside us that Jesus really wants to touch, that really wants to heal. Not your body. That sometimes your body, that's kind of like the icing on the cake when we get healed physically. But Jesus is in the spiritual business also. Jesus came there to speak to a bunch of folks that wanted to hear about God's love. Jesus knew when he healed this man that he was already at the cross. This is something that the Lord revealed to me. He already realized that grace had to be given already. This is before he went on the cross, y'all. He said, your sins are forgiven. But it automatically took him to that place on the cross because he had to die for that man's sins. It took him to the cross. It cost grace for that man to be healed spiritually. Jesus could heal him physically just at a thought. But to heal him spiritually, Jesus had to go to the cross. He had to die. He knew ahead of time when he told that man, your sins are forgiven you, that he was going to have to die already for his sins. And he was going to have to go to the cross. That is the price for forgiveness, by the way, is his death. Because we're the guilty ones. It's kind of like if you went out and you robbed a store and they say you're going to jail and someone said, hold on just a minute, I'll go in his place. I'll take the punishment. Let me do it. Let him go free. That's what Jesus did. If you think about it, that's what Jesus did. He took our place. We were the ones that should have went to the cross. We were the ones that should have died for our sins. But Jesus died for us. I got to thinking about it. I said, man, what kind of love must this be that Jesus would do this? What kind of love must it be for his friends of this paralyzed, who's not paralyzed anymore, by the way, He walked. We don't know whether he was paralyzed from birth or whether it happened by an accident later. We just know that he was paralyzed. But the love that it took for Jesus to forgive him of his sins and to heal him. Man, that kind of love. And the love that those friends had to have for that guy not to give up. Not to give up on their friend. To do everything that they could to get him to Jesus. They went the extra mile for their friend. That kind of faith is strong. And I wonder, do I have that kind of faith for my friends? And I wonder, do you have that kind of faith for your friends? That you would put yourself... These guys could have fallen off that roof. If you think about it, they could have slid right off and one of them could have died. But they actually took it to the next level for their friend. No greater love for a friend than to lay down your life for him, the Bible says. You know, that kind of love they had to bring him to Jesus. Because they knew that Jesus loved enough to meet that man's needs. It took faith, it took hope, and it took love for them to do what they did. But the Bible says, what's the greatest of all these? Love. Do we love our friends enough to go the extra mile? Do we love our friends enough to invite them to church? That's an easy thing to do. It's another thing to step up and share the gospel with them. Woo! Now that takes a lot of courage. Because you think to yourself, oh, now this is the devil talking. Is it hot up here or is it just me? The devil's, he's not liking this, y'all, I'm telling you. You just think about it. You go to tell your friend about Jesus who doesn't know him. And you think, this is what the devil says. Well, what if he gets mad and he just walks off and doesn't want to be your friend no more? What if? What if? I've heard that so many times. What if? What if they don't want to speak to you? What if they don't want to be your friend no more? What if? If that guy was standing on the edge of a cliff and he had a blindfold on and he took one more step, what if? What if I didn't say, hey, stop. You're going the wrong way. You take one more step and you're going to die. What kind of love does it take for us to care about our friends? We care about our families. We care about our brothers and sisters. We care about that, but what about our friends? We need faith, hope, and love. That's what we've got to have it to live the Christian life like we have to live it, like we want to live it, like we need. All three we need in the worst way. But we mostly need love. That kind of love that gets uncomfortable. That kind of love that steps out and says, I care enough about you, friend, that I'm going to tell you something. And you're not probably going to want to hear it. But I'm going to tell you about my Savior. I'm going to tell you about somebody that loves you more than I do. Because it's you're talking the truth. I want to tell you somebody that died for you. He already did it. That kind of love. I think about the friends that I've had in the past that I've witnessed to. Some of them, they really didn't want to be around me much. Because I didn't try to cram it down their throat, I just told them about it. But then I had friends, I had one friend that I would not let go. He was my roping partner, and he and I were on the road all the time, roping. And I would witness to him. He was an alcoholic. And he got so tired of hearing about Jesus from me that I led him to Christ about 3 or 4 times. He got so tired of hearing it, he goes, "Yeah, brother, I want to say, I'll do anything just to get you to shut up. I want Jesus as my Savior." Did he mean it? No. He'll tell you, he gives his testimony today. He came to this church one time. And if you ever listen to his testimony, he'll tell you that he just said whatever. He said most every single time I witnessed to him, he was drunk. He was drinking. And he said, "I'll say anything just so I can have another beer. Just one more." Till he lost everything. And he hit rock bottom. Lost his family. Lost his job. Everything. He got so far down that all I could see was up. That's the only place I could look. He said, "But I remembered what you said." My friend, he and I are really good friends. We're brothers in Christ now. But he said, "I remembered what you said. It was a lifeline that I could grab a hold on. I could get a hold of it." That's what being a friend is all about. You've got one of those friends that are like that. I know you do. Do you love them? Or are they just passing acquaintances? Let's pray. Woo, Lord. What a message. Tough to say. Tough to preach. Father, I just pray that we were listening. I just pray that all the things of the world weren't clogging our minds, thinking about going and eating already or whatever we got to do after we get out of here. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit touched hearts this morning and that we would act on it. I just pray for each and every person that's here, Lord. You know that I love them. I want the best for them. I just pray that you'd just bless them, bless their families, their home. Give them the opportunity, Lord, and the want to be your representative, to be your ambassador, to be the one that stands on the right there on the in the gate, right in the middle of the gate, and help someone, Father, that's lost to come through to Christ. That they had stopped them from going the opposite direction, the wrong way. We all know that who that person is, Lord, and it's different for everybody. I pray that you'd reveal it. Give us boldness. Give us faith, hope, and Lord, give us love that we will lovingly tell not only our friends but everyone about you and what you've done for us. If there's anyone here, Lord, that doesn't know you, I pray they would not leave before they receive Christ as their Savior this morning. We love you and we thank you. In your Son's name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. We want to welcome all y'all that are here at Common Ground Cowboy Church. If you're visiting with us, I want to say welcome. Thanks for being with us. If you're looking for a church home, if you're looking for a place where you can come and serve Christ, you're here. We've got lots of stuff that we've got to do to serve the Lord here at this church. And I'm not talking about this barn as the church. I'm talking about all these folks that are right here. They're loving folks, I'm telling you, and we do care about everybody. We care about each other, and we try to take care of each other. If you're looking for a church home, I pray that you consider Common Ground. Y'all have a blessed week. Wherever God takes you this week, I pray that God will bless you and protect you.